Vanguard is working hard to balance opportunity and risk for investors in this time of volatile yields. We know financial advisors are working hard to do the same. Visit vanguard.com/fixed income today. Important information. All investing is subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. Bond funds are subject to the risk that an issuer will fail to make payments on time and that bond prices will decline because of rising interest rates or negative perceptions of an issuer's ability to make payments. Vanguard Marketing Corporation, distributor.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
How are you now? For the last time this season, how are you right now? It's the last game of the year, folks. Montreal Canadiens with an opportunity to play spoiler one more time. Hello and welcome to episode 82 of the Bottom 6 Minutes podcast presented by Habs Eyes and the Prize. I am Matt Drake. We're here to talk about your Montreal Canadiens playing their final game against the Detroit Red Wings at the Bell Center. Having lost the first half of the home and home in overtime the night prior, obviously, I talked about it prior to that game. Detroit needed both of these, right? There was no shot of them making the playoffs without both of them. Well, I guess there was a shot, but they would have needed at least one, and they would have needed other teams to lose around them. And going into this game, you know, they were in a bit of a pickle, right? Still tied with 89 points with Washington, and Washington holding the tiebreaker, meaning that if they finish with the same amount of points, Washington would get in, not them. And Pittsburgh's right behind them with 88 points. So really, a loss for Detroit was just completely unacceptable in this game. Again, so going to be a tough outing for the Montreal Canadiens. And they had another debut in this game. They called up Logan Mailloux from the Laval Rocket and gave him an opportunity to start. So we had a couple of really young defensemen in Mailloux and Lane Hutson out there playing for the Montreal Canadiens against Detroit. So I'm going to take you through the recap, everything that happened there, and might have a little bit of a longer, post-recap speech there about the game. But first, BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and the NHL playoffs. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. And immediately upon the start of this last game between the Red Wings and Canadiens, it was quite apparent that the refs were not going to be calling anything. There were some immediate, obvious infractions. Logan Mailloux got slew-footed in full view of an official. No call. Yuri Slavkovsky got slew-footed as well. There were plenty of, you know, roughing, clutching, grabbing moments for both teams in the corner, in the corners and along the boards, and, you know, lots of opportunities for them to make calls. But clearly, they had a mandate that they were going to be keeping those whistles away for the game. So very early in this one, we learned that there was not going to be very much in the way of power plays. Now, The Montreal Canadiens have actually been pretty decent with 5-on-5, and nearly 12 minutes into the game, Brendan Gallagher gets sent in on a 2-on-1 by Logan Mailloux, a beautiful breakout pass from him, and he has Alex Newhook on the other side. He feeds it over to him, and Newhook sends it home, 1-0 for the Montreal Canadiens. Really impressive breakout pass by Logan Mailloux, and more on that at the tail end of the recap here. However, of course, late in the period, we get a bad breakout pass by David Savard. That one's a pizza right up the middle. Moritz Seider gets it from Dylan Larkin, and he claps it on goal. I believe that it got touched on the way by Alex DeBrincat. That ties the game at 1, and that was your score at the end of 20 minutes. So a pretty tightly played first period. Again, the Montreal Canadiens giving Detroit all they can handle. Keep in mind, folks, the Montreal Canadiens have not been a playoff team for quite some time, and Detroit has been in a playoff race for pretty much the entire season. So this is, you know, a good effort, a good period from the Montreal Canadiens. Make no mistake about it. We go into the second, same story. The refs are calling dick all. You know, it doesn't matter what anybody does. They are not taking the whistles out. And the teams also can't score. So early on in the period, you know, it's hard for players to get loose and to get space because there's so much clutching and grabbing going on at both ends that there's just really not a whole lot of room for them to work with. But near 8 minutes into the period, Yoel Armia gets sent in against two defenders, one of them being Jeff Petrie. Absurd toe drag around Jeff Petrie, sends him sliding all the way to Longueuil, and then he puts the shot on goal. It kind of chicken wings Reimer a little bit and gets through him, and it's trickling into the net, and Brendan Gallagher sees that puck sitting in his office, comes screaming in there and finishes it off. It is 2-1 for the Montreal Canadiens. I'm not sure he needed to touch that puck. It might have crossed the line all on its own, but you know, you don't want to make any you don't want to get cute with it, right? You don't want to sit there and just wait for it to cross the line. You play to the whistle or until that puck crosses the line, and that's what Brendan Gallagher did. It's 2-1 for the Habs. Not long after that, Nick Suzuki with a toe drag of his own coming up the wall in the offensive zone and then makes an absurdly beautiful diagonal pass down to Juraj Slafkovský near the faceoff dot. He puts it on goal, but it gets stopped and Cole Caulfield has to come in like Brendan Gallagher before him and clean it up, and he makes it 3-1 for the Montreal Canadiens. And then we get a weird one. Puck kind of gets just thrown on net in the Habs zone. Caden Primeau makes the save, but it kicks up into the air. All right, and there's a penalty coming to the Montreal Canadiens. Would have been the first penalty of the game. And the puck gets kicked up in the air, and it lands for Joe Valeno, and he just kind of whacks it on net and makes it 3-2. All of a sudden, you know, the Red Wings are right back in it. They do not want to go away in this game. And then finally, late in the period, the Montreal Canadiens get their first power play. And then with 11 seconds left in that power play after they couldn't score, Lucas Raymond yeets the puck over the glass, and they get a short 5-on-3. Can they extend their lead? No. They do run out some clock. The remainder of that penalty takes us all the way into the third period. But your score remains 3-2 going into the third period. We got 20 minutes for the Detroit Red Wings to try and save their season here. Of course, while they're keeping an eye on the out-of-town scoreboard as well, because if Washington wins, none of this matters. And it takes them 4 minutes into the third period to get a goal. Daniel Sprong, he's got the puck in the offensive zone. He's skating down below the goal line. He's kind of just looking for maybe somebody to get a stick on this and throws it out front. It banks off of Caden Primeau and in. That's an ugly one that Primeau would probably love to have back, but it ties the game up at 3. Now everyone's tentative. Nobody wants to make a mistake. And we get all the way down to nearly 5 minutes left in the period. Lane Hutson has the puck at the point for the Canadiens. He's shaking and baking. Everybody backs off him. They just don't want to chase him. So they're kind of just giving him his space. And you know what? He has a look and he realizes there's a lane for me to put this on net. And he does. And Juraj Slafkovský standing out in front with that big body. Gets a tip on it. His 20th goal of the season. What a goal for the future of the Montreal Canadiens right there. And it's 4-3. They have a lead with about 5 minutes left to play. We get down to the final seconds. The Red Wings have pulled James Reimer, and they've got the extra skater out there. David Savard, in his own zone, flips the puck up in the air. Okay, there was two Red Wing defensemen. I can't remember who it was. They easily could have got to that puck, but the refs still give them the icing call anyways. There's 7 seconds left on the clock, and what happens? Offensive zone draw, puck gets back to David Perron at the point, and he claps it through everyone. It's 4-4, and we are going to overtime. In overtime, Alex Newhook got tripped by Patrick Kane about 2 minutes in, but the Habs were way too passive with that two-minute power play. That should have been the end of the game right there. That should have been the opportunity that they were looking for to win it, but again, just too passive, looking for the perfect shot, and it never came. From there, it's a wash, though. You know, the Red Wings don't end up going down the ice and scoring. We're going to a shootout. First up, Cole Caulfield gets stopped by James Reimer. Dylan Larkin up first for the Red Wings, stopped by Brimeau. Lane Hudson comes in with a beautiful deke, but his stick gets caught up on the stick of James Reimer. No goal. Lucas Raymond up next gets stopped. Nick Suzuki up next against the Red Wings. He tries the Datsuk, and James Reimer gloves it. And the last shooter is Patrick Kane. He beats Caden Primeau, low glove side, his weak spot. And the Wings take it 5-4. Unfortunately for the Wings, regardless of them winning those two games against Montreal, the Capitals won against Philadelphia, and that effectively ended the Red Wings season. Regardless of what happened in those two games, they wouldn't have made the playoffs. So, look, it's one more point for the Montreal Canadiens, which technically puts them ahead of the Arizona Coyotes. So I guess let's talk about the tank first before I get into the performances of the game. Yes, the 1 point puts them ahead of the Coyotes. That's not ideal, but the Coyotes have one more game left. It's against the Edmonton Oilers tomorrow night. So if Arizona can get at least a point in that game, Montreal would get back into that fifth best lottery odds position. So I don't know about that one. Luckily, the Oilers can neither improve nor worsen their position in the Pacific Division. So I'm not too sure. Like, they may elect to rest some guys. You know, McDavid's probably not a guy that you typically want to not have in your lineup, though, so I'm thinking he's probably going to be out there. But maybe they sit a couple of guys, maybe they play their backup goaltender. We know Edmonton's got a goaltending issue, and we also know that it will be the last game for the Arizona Coyotes in Arizona. So if they don't go out and play that game with some pride, trying their absolute best to win, then, you know, I don't know what we're doing here, right? I think those players are going to want to give their fans, as few that they actually have, something to cheer about in their last game at Mullet Arena. So I it could be interesting. I'll tell you what, I'm going to tune into that game tomorrow night, just for my own research purposes for the draft lottery. I'm going to tune into that one. I'm going to see what happens. But the good news, you know, other, I guess hoping Arizona to win is not good news. The good news is that Ottawa did win. They beat Boston. That was something I opined on that a couple of episodes ago. I said maybe Boston would rest some guys. They didn't. Ottawa actually just beat them straight up with all their big guns in the lineup. So good on Ottawa, and that means that the Habs, the worst odds that the Habs could have is the sixth best. So they're the worst they can be is sixth last. And if Arizona wins or gets at least 1 point, then they will be fifth last. So Habs are in position for a good pick this season. So Team Tank, you know, we did it. We did it. We're well into the top 10. We're going to have a good spot, and who knows? The lottery is the lottery, so there's always the possibility of moving up a little bit. So enough about the tank. Let's talk about your silver lining of the night. And honestly, watching that game, my silver lining of the night, my silver lining of the season, if you will, is the future of this team is incredibly bright. And I got to talk about two specific guys that made me feel like the future was very bright in that game. As a matter of fact, more than two guys, because we got to throw Slafkovský and Caulfield in there as well. But you know which two I'm going to go to first, and I'm going to start with Lane Hudson. When that guy gets the puck in the offensive zone in particular, but when he gets the puck anywhere on the ice, the sound that you hear in the Bell Center is electric. There is just pure anticipation coming from the fans because they expect something great to happen when that guy has the puck on his stick, and with good reason. And I have not heard that sound in the Bell Center since PK Subban. Prior to that, I don't know. Maybe Alex Kovalev had it a little bit. I'm sure I wasn't alive, but I know from my uncles and my father that Guy Lafleur, when he would get the puck and he would wind up, people would get excited. Larry Robinson, you know, this is the kind of it's the kind of energy that is reserved for extremely electric players, and Lane Hudson is precisely that. Obviously, you could talk about the goal, right? The shake and bake at the offensive blue line that was a hallmark of his game at the college level, but it went beyond that, all right? There was multiple times where he got the puck in the O zone, and he's just spinning off of guys, skating around, using that great edge work of his to put himself in a position when he's off puck. When he has the puck, he's just making people miss. He looks looks, he just looks like one of the most electric defensemen that I've seen in my lifetime, and I cannot wait for next season. We had a bit of a discussion about it in the comments section on my last article on Habs Eyes on the Prize, and some people feel like he'd be better off starting in the AHL next season. Did you watch those two games, though? Like, I hear everybody who wants him to start in the NHL, and I understand you, and I honestly don't disagree. I don't think you're crazy for saying that. I think it makes a lot of sense. It makes even more sense tethering him to David Reinbacher and letting them come up together and eventually take a spot for themselves as a pair on the Habs blue line. But I'm watching those two games, and maybe I'm just getting too wrapped up in two games, but I'm seeing an NHL player in front of me. I'm seeing 100% an NHL player, and I don't see how he's going to get beat out for a roster spot at camp, and I don't think that Martin St-Louis is going to be able to say, well, I'm going to hold you back because I want you to develop with Reinbacher. I think he's going to play the six best players, and I think Lane Hudson's going to be one of them. Only time will tell, but for now, what I can say for sure, and I think what we can all agree on, regardless of whether we think he should start in Laval or Montreal, there's a lot of reason to be excited about Lane Hudson. And if you're not hype about him, you better get hype, because this kid is for real. Then we have to talk about Logan Mailloux, who I felt played an excellent game for his first outing with the Montreal Canadiens. Obviously picked up a point with a really good breakout pass, but that was really the story of his game. Is he was making really smart outlet passes, really smart breakout passes. He's really moving the puck up ice. He's playing the role of a puck moving defenseman. The biggest problem with him has always kind of been his inclination to play hero puck. You know, in junior, he was capable of just skating through everybody, starting in his own zone, going coast to coast, and then putting it in the net. And London, you know, they didn't really try to rein that in whatsoever. They were perfectly happy to have him doing that, because, you know, one or two times a week or one or two times a month, that puck ends up in the back of your net because Mailloux's too far away. But most of the time, he had the wheels to get back in junior and cover up his own mistakes. So they weren't worried about it. And a lot of people were worried about that at the professional level, because you do not have the margin for error that you have in junior. In junior, he was a man among boys, right? He skated faster than everybody else. He was bigger than most people on the ice. And it was a little too easy for him, if you get my drift, right? That's not going to happen for him at the pro level. These players are so good that you try that hero puck game, you know, you're going to get burnt. You're going to get burnt, and you're not going to be able to get back and fix it, because that puck heads the other way, and you're down near the goal line in the offensive zone. You're not getting back. You're not covering that. So what interested me really about his game against the Red Wings was that he was very reserved. He didn't try any of that hero puck. The only time that I saw him really go for a skate up ice was in overtime after the failed power play for the Montreal Canadiens, and they were 4-on-4. He got the puck with some space, and he went, you know, there was 10 seconds left on the clock or something. And yeah, he went for his skate and put a puck on net, and he almost fooled James Reimer with the shot. So he picked his spots really well when he was going to go up ice. And most of the time, he was just focused on making smart, you know, easy to complete passes. And it just so happens that he was making those passes look very nice. He was putting them tape to tape. So smart passes and really well executed on top of that. So it was a reserved game from him. And I really enjoyed seeing that, because it gives me some confidence that, you know, he's going to be able to eventually make that jump on a permanent basis. He's going to be able to play on an NHL blue line. And the more that he gets comfortable, and the more that that repetition, that muscle memory comes to him on making those easy passes, the more it's going to open up the opportunity for him to flash some of that, you know, really flashy offensive skill that he has, to maybe go for some skates up ice, to put himself in the position to, you know, maybe do something a little bit risky, but you know, seeing whether or not it can pay off because of his athleticism and his ability with the puck. So that was an exciting game from him for me, because it showed me a lot of the things that people were worried about. It showed that he has clearly taken those to heart, and he's been working on them. And he looks like he could potentially, he could be in the conversation next season for a spot on the blue line at the start of the season. I think a lot of people are probably penciling him in for Laval as well. But Again, I wouldn't sleep on the kid. I think Marty's going to take the six best guys, and if he's one of those guys, he's going to have a shot. And I'll tell you what, if he is in Laval next season, look out in the AHL, because you know that was a very good NHL caliber game from him. And if he brings that to the AHL, yeah, he's going to have a good season. So two young defensemen with excellent games there, and that's two in a row for Lane Hutson as well. So a lot of reason to be excited about the blue line moving forward. And then we got to talk about the forwards. Juraj Slafkovský gets his 20th goal of the year, his 50th point. At this time last year, nobody would have thought that was possible. The kid just put his head down and did the work. Tuned out all the noise, I'm sure. I'm sure it's difficult. I've never been a pro athlete, but I'm sure it's difficult to not see all of the things that are said about you online and elsewhere. Right, I'm sure he's seen some of it. I'm sure he's aware that there was a lot of people out there that were calling him a bust. And what did he do? Tuned all that out, just put in the work, came out this season looking like a different player, looking like an animal. He was getting mugged in that game against the Red Wings. They clearly were worried about him getting to the front of the net, and they were fouling him almost every shift. And what did he do? Put his head down and kept doing the work, just like he did, when nobody was watching at practice. He did it in that game. That game was a microcosm of exactly what has made him successful this season, is just doing the work, right? Some of it is very thankless. Things like going there and standing in front of the net, but it pays off. And it paid off with him getting his 20th of the year. Really a great season from him, an eye-opening season. And now a lot of us are justifiably starting to feel like the sky is the limit for this kid. What's he going to do next year, right? How many points is he going to put up if Cole Caulfield's shooting percentage gets back up to where it's supposed to be? Nick Suzuki is almost a point-per-game player. Is he going to take another step forward and add even more to Juraj Slafkovský? He clearly enjoys playing with Nick Suzuki. It helps him a lot. I don't know, folks. I'm incredibly excited about next year, and it's going to be a lot of fun to see some of these young players keep going. And then after Juraj Slafkovský, I almost forgot. I got to talk about Cole Caulfield as well, because he obviously scored a bit of a garbage goal in that one, but they don't ask how, they ask how many. And in Cole Caulfield's case, he didn't get to that 40 goal mark that we were all hoping he was going to this season. But I submit to you that he's playing some of the best hockey that we've ever seen him play. He's a lot more tenacious. He's getting more physical. He's all over the puck every single game. He's in the right spots. He's getting the right looks. He's put more rubber on net this season than he ever has in a season prior to this. And I know it's the first time that he's actually played a full season in the NHL. But still, he's doing all of the right things. And we know that shooting percentage will not stay where it was this season for the rest of his career. It's going to go up eventually. It might not go up immediately next season, but I feel like next season is where we're going to see him get up closer to that 40-goal mark. And all he really needs is just a little bit more shooting luck. Again, if you go to NHL Edge, you can see that not only has he put more shots on goal than he ever has, so his volume is up. He's also shooting the puck harder than he ever has. He's going to figure it out, guys. And the puck's going to start going in, and it's going to get nutty next season. I cannot wait. Honestly, I'm sad that this one's over. I wish that there was a way for them to get an extra 20 games out of this and just see how some of these players continue to develop. But we're going to have to wait. They're going to hit the golf course. They're going to have some fun. And we'll be back at this next fall to see what this team can do. They even got a goal out of Alex Newhook in that one. Another young player. All of the players of the game were young players. If I were to list them in order, I probably would have gone... Some of this is a little bit of bias, but if I was going to list them in order, my number one player of the game probably would have been Lane Hutson. My number two probably would have been Juraj Slafkovský. My number three would have been Mayu. My number four would have been Caulfield. My number five would have been Suzuki. My number six would have been Newhook. None of those guys are over 25 years old. Like, this team's future is very bright, and that's the takeaway that I got from this game. That's the takeaway that I got from this season, and I'm incredibly excited for next year. I know it's going to be a long wait. This is probably going to be the longest off season of my life. I can't speak for everybody, but I think for a lot of us, that's going to be the case. And the good news is that the draft lottery will come up pretty quickly, and then the draft will come up quickly after that. So we still will have a lot of hockey to talk in this off season. So keep your eyes peeled on the Eyes in the Prize podcast channel, because we will have a lot of content coming for you. But I do want to thank everybody who has taking the time. Everybody who has clicked on the bottom 6 minutes episodes, everybody who has tolerated some of my over swearing at times, everybody who's tolerated some of my ref rants, without people who click on the podcast and listen to it, there'd be no reason to do it, right? It's not like I get rich off of this podcast or anything, but the fact that I have a lot of people who are listening to this makes it at least somewhat financially worthwhile to continue doing it. So we will be back next season with the bottom 6 minutes. And again, a big thank you to everybody who listens. I really appreciate it. Tell your friends about it. Maybe we can get this to a point where I do get rich off of it, and then we'll get a nice big fancy studio. I don't know. I'm joking around. All right. We're not going to get rich off this. This is something that we do for fun. And I hope that everybody else has had, everybody who listens has had fun, listening to this podcast this season. And I will see you again next year. So with that being said, we will close out the 2023-24 season. This final episode is running about 24 minutes. Alors, c'est une soirée énorme pour les employés de soutien. We are on Spotify, Google Play, Apple. I'm on Twitter at DrakeMT. Drop me a follow. I would appreciate that very much. This episode was brought to you by BetOnline. Thank you, as always, for listening. And it's going to be a while, but of course, à la prochaine.
At Vanguard, you're more than just an investor. You're an owner. That means your priorities are Vanguard's too. So whether you're planning for retirement or trying to save up for your next big adventure, Vanguard will work alongside you to set personalized investment goals. That's the value of ownership. All investing is subject to risk. Vanguard is owned by its funds, which are owned by Vanguard's fund shareholder clients. Vanguard Marketing Corporation Distributor.
You can live out your MasterChef dream when you find a professional on Angie to tackle your dream kitchen remodel. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Visit Angie.com. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
At Vanguard, you're more than just an investor. You're an owner. That means your priorities are Vanguard's too. So whether you're planning for retirement or trying to save up for your next big adventure, Vanguard will work alongside you to set personalized investment goals. That's the value of ownership. All investing is subject to risk. Vanguard is owned by its funds, which are owned by Vanguard's fund shareholder clients. Vanguard Marketing Corporation Distributor.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance. while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.